Admit it, you rank your friends based on how much they annoy you. Now Google's doing it for websites. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Jed Kim, in for Molly Wood. What drives you nuts about surfing online? Maybe it's news sites that autoplay videos, or cooking pages that bury their actual recipes below expanding ads, or maybe it's your dad who keeps sending you links to Hamster Dance. No way, I love Hamster Dance. Well, for some of the things that make you pull your hair out while browsing, there may be hope. By the end of the month, Google is changing how it ranks websites so that ones that are harder to load are ranked lower. So, will that make websites less annoying? Simon Schneiders is founder of the search engine optimization agency Blue Array.
It's likely to help, sure. I mean, in particular, cooking websites, I mean, that they get a bad reputation anyway. You know, you're often having to read someone's life story before you actually get to the focaccia recipe that you're interested in, right? I mean, it's a real pain. But in terms of usability, yes, I think, you know, it's certainly helping in those sorts of areas.
How important is a good search ranking in terms of, you know, for getting a website discovered?
How important? Well, it's critical nowadays. In recent studies, we know that roughly somewhere around 50% of all trackable web traffic comes via organic search. In terms of how important ranking is, typically if you're the number one organic result, you'll get a 33% roughly sort of click-through rate. And then position five, you'll get a roughly 5% click-through rate. So,
wow.
You know, ranking is everything, really.
I guess so. What are the factors that help a site have a better search result?
There are three critical pillars to SEO. First and foremost, you've got content, so how relevant your content is to the query that the user's typing into a search engine. And then you've got technical as well. So technical is, you know, it is very basic element is how is your site crawlable and indexable, which surprisingly is easy to mess up with, you know, JavaScript web technologies, for instance. That's how Google started their search engine. Prior to be calling termed Google, they were called Backrub. So the original
what?
Google was called Backrub.
And the idea is that websites would rub each other's backs?
Correct, yeah. So you've got sites who are, you know, deemed as particularly authoritative, you know, sites like, you know, New York Times or BBC or places like that. And essentially they're rubbing backs with other sites who are get some of that authority rubbed off on them as well.
Now, you work with clients to, you know, help them get better search results. Your firm also expensive to hire. What about people who don't have the budget to hire professional agencies? Like what's there for them?
Yeah, I mean, we'd be eye-watering to most small businesses in terms of affordability. But for most small businesses, I would say the best opportunity you've got to get visibility is within Google My Business, or what's known as Google Local. And that's an area that you should really be focused on from a self-service point of view. I say that because there's an awful lot of bad actors out there who are hoovering up sort of £200-300 a month retainers from small businesses and really not delivering anything for that. So it's fairly shark infested waters, that level. And there's not a huge amount of information you need to gather in order to do well on local. And there are some great people who are giving out lots of free information around that. And so that's an area that I would say that, you know, as a small business, focus on that. You know, that's the area that I would put my time and effort into is focusing on Google Local.
Is it that hard to make a good, clean, simple website?
It's not. I mean, and there's lots of platforms now that make this very easy, like Squarespace, Wix, etc. They all do a pretty good job in that area. You know, SEO is something that tends to be baked into these platforms. You do really need to spend or invest the time in creating great content. Google have labored this for years, and content really is king, more so than links nowadays. Your content really is first and foremost, and making sure you're thinking about the search engine user. You know, what are the kind of queries they'll be typing into search engines to find us? Can we produce 2x, 5x, 10x better content than anybody else?
Simon Schneiders is founder of Blue Array. And now for some related links. First, a story from the New York Times on Telfar bags. If, like me, you don't know what a Telfar bag is, they are very fashionable and highly sought after. When a limited number gets released, there is a mad online rush to be one of the lucky people to score one. It's made worse by bots that buy up a lot of them to be resold at a markup elsewhere. To stop these bots, the sellers recently tried out a really hard CAPTCHA test. One forced buyers to draw a box around the largest cat in a series of cat photos. Another featured a fill-in-the-blank question. Let's see if you can get this one. Not for you, for blank. If you said me, you're wrong. Maybe you're a bot. You should probably get that checked out. The correct answer was not for you, for everyone. It's Telfar's slogan. Needless to say, there were lots of annoyed would-be buyers. Next, we've got a post from Ars Technica bemoaning the lengths Microsoft is going to get people to use its Edge browser. In some beta builds of Windows 11, a box pops up when you try to set a different browser as your default. It reads, "Before you switch, try Microsoft Edge. It's fast, secure, and built for Windows 11. Check it out." I will say this happened to me just last week. It was annoying. I mean, there was an Oxford comma in the script. And finally, there's a sponsored article ranking the best psychic websites of 2020. You know what? We're not going to include this. How are any of these links related, you ask? Well, they were some of the top results when I did a Google News search on the term annoying websites. Well, actually, we have one more link. I mean, we have to link to Hamster Dance, of course. All right, if you're under the age of 30, let me explain. It's a page of animated hamsters doing sweet dance moves, because this is what we did with the internet back in 1997. It looks like the original site isn't up anymore, and on the one we found, the music doesn't always autoplay, which is a good thing. I'm Jed Kim, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.